Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your love that fills our hearts. Thank you for peace and joy you have enthroned in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Thank you for spiritual blessings you have released into our lives. Thank you for physical blessings you have released into our lives. Thank you for moving us forward on every side. We thank you for helping us by your Holy Spirit to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you for blessing us with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Thank you for teaching us truths that would change our lives and set us free. Blessed be your holy name. Be thou glorified forever in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the new teaching topic we started last week on building a strong relationship with God. Thank you for what you exposed to us last week. Thank you because you are going to teach us much more today. And you're going to make us to see things that would help us to grow in knowing you much more better. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I ask, oh God, that as I will be taking this teaching, speak through me by your Holy Spirit. And let every listener be blessed and helped and edified in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you are going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And I would continue from where I stopped during the last Bible study class. I remember that we started a new topic that says, building a strong relationship with God. Building a strong relationship with God. Yeah, and then I said there is a point, or I'm going to be explaining them in points. Then the first point I started with was, we worship God by loving Him. And under that point, I talked about we are to love God with all our heart, and also that our souls should thirst for God. And I also mentioned that we should greatly desire Him. Yeah. So now, the next point after that, the next sub point, which is going to be point D, is we are to desire Him above everything else. That's the next sub point. We are to desire Him above everything else. In Psalm 73, verse 25. Psalm 73. Verse 25. Yeah, in that psalm, you will see the writer saying, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. So we are to desire Him above everything else. Hallelujah. Now you can see that your heart is very important in worshiping God. That was why we started with, we worship God by loving Him. And you know, we saw in the scripture where God Himself gave the commandment. He said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all of that. We have talked a lot on those aspects of loving God with all your heart. Yeah, but here we are saying that God wants to be the person or the only thing you desire the most. For you to worship God acceptably, and for you to really build a strong relationship with God, for you to really know God, God must be your most desired person. He must be desired above every other thing. Yeah, because in that verse, the psalmist was saying, he said, who do I have in heaven except you? And there is no other person I desire on earth beside you. Yeah. So when God sees that your heart highly desire Him above every other thing, then He is going to really come very closer to you. So, which means that there is no rival. God has no rival in your life. Which means that the position God wants to stay in your life, no one else is staying there. And then it also means that no one else can stay there forever. Meaning that God is highly exalted in your heart, and every other thing comes under God. Yeah, in your life. But these things that we are talking about here, it could be easier said than done, because I've seen the lives of many Christians violating this standard of desiring God above every other thing else. I've seen the lives of many Christians and ministers of God violating these standards. Yeah, so many of us, we don't desire God above every other thing else. In fact, there are some people that the reason why they have, you know, they are going to church and serving God is because of what they want to get from God, what they want God to do for them. That's why they are going to church. That's why they join the workers in the church. That's why they are giving their offerings and tithes and all of that. It's not because they desire God above every other thing else. It's because of themselves, because they want something from God, because they want miracles or blessings from God, not because they really love Him. Yeah. And that is why when God now do some of these miracles, because He's a good God, and He's a merciful God, and He's a faithful God. So when He does some of these miracles, that is when those Christians we now manifest their real color. That is when those Christians we now show who they really are. A woman of God was preaching. He said, you cannot know the real attitude of a man until that man has money. Yeah. And that woman of God was preaching. He said, He was preaching concerning marriage. He was telling the women that you cannot know the attitude of your husband until he has money. So that if a man has money, a lot of money, and still love you, I mean, she was referring to husbands. So if a man has a lot of money and still love you, and still, you know, the love he claimed to have, he still continue to have that love. He still continue to love God as well. Then he said that man is not a fake. He said it means who that man says he is, or who that man is appearing to be, is actually real. Yeah. So and she mentioned something. She said, because she's a woman that has worked for Satan for some years before God delivered her and saved her and called her into ministry. She has served Satan for many years. I mean, she was an agent of Satan. So she was not saying that in the kingdom of darkness, if they want to bring down a man, like a man of God, and the first thing they do is to, you know, is to stab him or to take away money from him to make sure he's extremely poor, to see if he would, you know, compromise the standard of righteousness, to see if he would deny God and go after the ways of sin and worldliness. So she said that if they realized that the man still did not sin against God in his abject poverty, then she said that they are going to give that man a lot of money. I mean, that man of God. Yeah. That they're going to start sending a lot of money to him, because the devil actually has money. So he said most of those men of God, he said it is when they start sending money to them, that is when most of them turn against God. Yeah. So she was saying that we cannot know who a man is until he has money. I just decided to, you know, share that story from the preaching of that of the woman of God. Yeah, but my point is that the heart through which many of us in the church are serving God is very bad. The heart through which many of us are worshiping God and relating with God is very wrong. Yeah. We are not desiring God above every other thing else. So you must desire God above the miracles. When God does miracles, he does it so that we can come closer to him. Not so that we can now go far from him. God does miracles to, you know, to show the people that he's with them, and then to strengthen the faith of the people in him, and then to invite the people to come closer to him. Yeah, that is why he does miracles. So, but today, Christians seem to have exalted the creatures above the Creator. Yeah, they seem to have exalted miracles, the works of God, what the hand of God does. They seem to have lifted those things higher above the person working miracles, above the Creator himself. So when when you so much desire what the hand of God can do above God himself, then your heart is wrong in worship. Then such heart is wrong for worshiping God. I'm going to repeat myself. When you so much desire what God does, the works of God, the acts of God, the miracles of God, the signs and wonders that God does, when you so much desire those things above the one doing those things, above the Creator himself, above the miracle worker himself, which is God, then your heart is wrong in worshiping God, because according to the scripture, you must desire him above everything else in this world, above yourself. You must desire God above yourself, above everything in your life, above everything you have. That is how to relate with God. So don't run after God because of what he's going to give you. Yeah. Run after God because you want him, because you love him, because you want to know him. Yeah. You know, because of him, not because of the things he can do for you. Yeah, so we must get it right. If you don't get it right at that point, every other thing that pertains to your calling and destiny and marriage and ministry and your entire life, they might just fail. Every other thing might just fail. And you might never get to where God wants you to be. Yeah, I've seen Christian sisters who were so vibrant in spiritual things. They were so, you know, diligent in seeking God, in loving God, in prayer, fasting. They so much loved God before they got married. But immediately they got married, everything changed. Yeah, I mean these Christian sisters, they so much loved God, they were so much on fire for God, and they are ready to do anything for God because they so much love him. But that was before they got married. Immediately they got married, everything died. So what is the meaning of that? The meaning is that they have exalted marriage above God. Yeah, the meaning is that those sisters, those Christian sisters, they have exalted marriage above God. That was why after they got married, they lost the fire they used to have before they got married, the passion for evangelism, the passion for intercessions, intercessory prayers, the passion to serve God, the passion to, you know, seek God for revelations and all of that. They lost all those passion. They lost, that fire because they did not get it right at this point. So that is why I'm taking time to talk on this point. I should have moved to the next point. So you must get it right at this point. And what is the point? You must desire God above every other thing else. So those Christian sisters, they desired marriage above God. So they did not get it right before they entered into marriage. So that was why when they got married, they lost all the fire. They became their situation became so worse that even unbelievers got better, you know, became better than them in character. Because they did not get it right. Yeah, at this point. Yeah, and not only marriage, so many things. Many of us have raised up above God. So God must have no rival in your life. That position that God wants, which is the position of being the Lord of your life, that position you must put in there, and nothing else must replace, must take his place, nothing else. Yeah, and if you look at the book of Isaiah chapter 26, verse 8, yeah, it says the desire of our soul is to thy name, the desire of our soul is to thy name. Yeah, let's move to another point. Remember that the first point is we worship God by loving him. Then I have talked on many sub points. So this is the next sub point. Point E. We are to worship Jesus as we worship God. We are to worship Jesus as we worship God. Yeah, let's read John chapter 5, verse 23. John chapter 5, verse 23. 5:23. It says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Yeah, so what does it mean to worship Jesus as you worship God? To worship Jesus is to actually obey his teachings. Yeah, Jesus Christ said somewhere in the scripture, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yeah, and I said that the first requirement to worshiping God is love, to love him. We have talked about that. So if you love him, then you will obey his teachings. Yeah, you will obey his commandments. So to worship Jesus is to obey his words. Yeah, have you read the scriptures? If yes, are you obeying the scriptures? Yeah, because the word of God is not just meant to be heard alone. The word of God is not meant to be read alone. The word of God is meant to be obeyed and followed. Not that you just hear it, just like I'm teaching now. The word of God is not just to be heard alone. It's not just to be read alone. It's to be obeyed and followed. And that is the point where transformation takes place. Transformation takes place as you obey the scriptures, as you obey what the Bible says. Yeah. And nothing can replace that. You can't be transformed if you don't obey the scriptures. You can pray and fast. You can pray and fast for months. If you don't obey the Bible as it is, your life will not change. Yeah, that's one thing I know about God. Yeah, if you don't do what have to be done, you will not do what you should do. Yeah, so maybe Maybe the reason why you're still struggling to overcome sin is because you have not yet determined in your heart to obey the Bible. Or maybe you have not even been reading the Bible. Yeah. So when you read the Bible and you determine to obey it, you will receive the power of transformation. The power of God will work in you, and the power of God will start changing you to another man. And when God discover that you are yielding to his instructions, you are yielding to his teachings and to his words, his commandments, and you are obeying, yeah, then God begin to answer your prayers. There is a connection between obedience and answers to prayers. You can read all the Bible. I know some pastors, they don't preach the full gospel. Yeah, but I am not deceived. I am not among those pastors that have been deceived. Yeah, so that's why I will preach the full gospel. Believe me, if you don't obey God fully, I'm not talking of partial obedience, total obedience to his word. If you don't obey him fully, there are many of your prayers that will not be answered. Even if the most anointed man of God in the world pray for you, many of your prayers will not be answered. It's not a curse. It's the Bible. Study all the Bible from Old Testament. You will see how answers to prayers, blessings are connected to obedience to the word of God. Even in the New Testament, you will see the same thing. Just begin to study. You will see how obedience is connected to answers to prayers and receiving blessings. It's not just faith. Yeah, because many of us, we stop at the realm of faith. I believe God. I believe this ministry. I believe God is in this ministry. I believe God is using this man of God. But what about obedience? Yeah, what about obedience? So if you have a pass mark in faith, and then you don't have any pass mark in obedience, then you might not experience many miracles or many blessings. Yeah, just keep that in mind. Yeah, even Jesus Christ said, he said, "Why do you call me Lord when you are not going to obey my words?" Then how is Jesus Christ your Lord if you are not obeying him? How is he your Lord? May the Lord help you to, number one, study his word, study his teachings, study his instructions and commandments in the Bible. And then number two, may the Lord help you to obey each of them and use what you have learned in the Bible to correct your lifestyle and your mindset in Jesus' name. Amen. So that is how we worship Jesus. We worship Jesus by obeying him, by obeying his teaching. And then Philippians chapter 2, from verse 9 to 11, it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah, we worship Jesus by exalting his name, by exalting the name of Jesus. That's how we worship Jesus. Yeah, meaning that you exalt his name above every other name, above every other name of things in heaven, every name of things on earth, every name of things under the earth. So you highly exalt Jesus, exalt the name of Jesus above every other name. When you do that, you are worshiping Jesus. And how do you exalt his name? By calling forth his name, his names. When you study the Bible, you see a lot of names ascribed to Jesus. The root of Jesse, the bright morning star, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the solution, the answer to the problems in the world. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, so all those names. When you call those, you call forth those names, you are worshiping Jesus. Meaning that you're standing in the midst of darkness, and you're not looking at the darkness that surrounds you. You begin to speak forth the name of the Lord. You begin to speak forth the name, His name, that defeats the darkness that surrounds you. Yeah, begin to praise His name. Yeah, His name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, or Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. So mention His name, praise His name in the midst of sicknesses, praise His name in the midst of troubles. When you're traveling, and then the enemy is bringing thoughts of fear, of accident, mention the name of the Lord as the God that keeps His people. Mention Him as Jehovah Shammah. Yeah, the Lord that fights for His people. The Lord that gives His people victory. So search through the scriptures and learn the names of Jesus Christ and begin to proclaim His name in every situation. When you are giving thanks, call Him those names. You can even create your own names for Him. So Jesus doesn't have a specific name. Yeah, maybe you have not heard that one before. You can give God names according to what you know Him to be. So all the names in the scriptures, they are expressions of revelations of who He is to human beings. Yeah. So people call Him Jehovah Rapha because they have experienced His healing, or you have had testimony of God healing people. So if God has done anything in your life, if you have any revelation of who He is, maybe as you're studying the Bible, you got understanding of who He is, then give Him a name according to what you have seen Him to be. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. If you have seen Him to be a merciful God, then call Him a merciful God when you are worshiping Him. Yeah. If you have known Him to be God that forgives, then call Him the God that forgives. Yeah. So you can give Him names. God doesn't have a specific name. Yeah. Apart from maybe two or three He revealed in the scriptures. When he called himself I am that I am. He called Himself I am that I am. I am who I am. And then He referred to Himself as Lord Yahweh and as Jehovah. Yeah. So God can receive names from you. If you have encountered Him in a powerful way, you can give Him names according to how you encountered Him. So that is how you praise Jesus. That is how you worship Jesus. And then in Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, it says He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Yeah. So from there, you can see names of Jesus. The Alpha, the firstborn from the dead. Yeah. And also in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, it says, everyone that loveth Him, which is God, everyone that loveth Him, that loveth God, that begat. Let us read it, because I just speak summarily of each verses because of time. Yeah. Let us read that scripture, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. 1 John 5, verse 1. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Yeah, it means everyone that love God, who gave birth to Jesus, love God. Yeah, I mean, everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. So if you love the Father, that's what it means. If you love the Father, then you love the Son as well. So if you love the Son, you love the Father as well. Yeah, you know, King James verses, they can be very difficult to understand. But what he's saying is that if you love the Father, then you must love the Son. Yeah, that's what it means. And you know, the Son is the Word of God. So I have said it, that loving Jesus means obeying the Word of God, believing the Word of God, and allowing the Word of God to change you. Following the instructions in the Word of God. So now we're going to move to another sub point. Another sub point, which is have. Point have. It says why we love and worship Jesus. Why we love and worship Jesus. Or maybe I should say, why you should love and worship Jesus. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Yeah. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he, Jesus, laid down his life for us. We love and worship Jesus because he laid down his life for us. He became the sacrifice that made our redemption possible. He became the sacrifice that made the forgiveness of our sins, that makes our salvation, healing, deliverances possible. So he was not thinking about himself when he was going to the cross. Yeah, he was thinking about you and I. He was thinking about your salvation. He was thinking about your redemption, your deliverance, your healing, your breakthrough. He was thinking about how you will fulfill your calling. He was thinking about how you will make heaven at the end, how you will have eternal life. Those were the thoughts of Jesus when he was going to the cross. He wasn't thinking about himself. And that is love. So because he did that for us, we must return that love by also laying down our lives for him and for the brethren. Yeah. Amen. So that is how. That is how, or maybe I should say, that is why we should love and worship Jesus. And then in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it confirms that. It says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Yeah, one thing I discovered in the kingdom, of God is that it's a kingdom that is founded on love. Everything in the kingdom of God is established on love. Yeah, it operates through faith, but it is founded on love. That is why your faith must be based on love. I talked about this when we're treating the topic that says understanding God's love. Yeah. So even your faith must be based on love. If your faith is not based on love, it will not produce results. Yeah. So we must love him. That's the standard in God's kingdom. We must love him. And when you love back, another thing I discover about God's kingdom is that when you return that love back to God, you know, every one of us, we are partakers of God's love. We are partakers of the love of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we are beneficiaries of that love and of all the wonders of his love. Now, I discovered that when we return that love, there is always a manifestation of great power and glory. When God loves you, which you know without a doubt, and now you love him back, there is always manifestation of power and glory. Yeah. But it's a pity that only few people are really loving him back. And then in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 to 13, you know, it says, what is the Lamb that was slain? To receive power, to receive honor and glory and blessing. Yeah. So we worship Jesus because God has given him he has given him dominion. He has given him everything. He has handed over everything to Jesus. Everything. Yeah, so everything is under his control. Everything. Yeah, so everything God has, Jesus has. Everything God rules over, Jesus rules over them. So God has handed over the kingdom to him. He has handed over everything to him. So we have to worship him even as we worship God. Yeah, we have to worship him. Now we are moving to point number 2. Point number 2, which says how we should worship, how we show our love for God. How we show our love for God. Remember that point number 1, which we started last week, was we worship God by loving him. We worship God by loving him. Now, point number 2 is how we show our love for God. How we show our love for God. Yeah, the sub point under that point number 2. Point A under that point is by loving and obeying his word, which I have said earlier. Yeah. Yes, I won't dwell so much on that point. How we show our love for God is by loving and obeying His word. By loving His word and by obeying His word. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 1. It says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always." Yeah. And then in Job chapter 23 verse 12, you will see where it says, "I have esteemed God's words more than my necessary food." Yeah, and then Psalm 119 verse 20, it says, "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times," which means unto God's word, His word. His word also means His judgments. Yeah. And in 1 John chapter 5 verse 3, it says, "This is the law of God, that we keep His commandments." So all those verses, yeah, even in 2 John chapter 1 verse 6, it says, "This is love, that we walk after His commandments." So all these verses, they are telling us that you should love and obey Him. You should love His word and obey His word. That is how you show your love for God. Yeah, you know, there was a time that Jesus was on earth doing ministry. Yeah, and there was a time where somebody came to tell Him that your mom and your siblings, they are looking for you. Yeah, somebody came and said, "Your mother and your brothers, they are looking for you." And Jesus corrected that person immediately. He said, "Who is my brother and mother and sisters?" He said, "Whoever obey the word of God is my brother, is my mother, is my sisters." Yeah. So that means obedience to His word, loving Him enough to obey His word, is what actually qualifies us to be a Christian. Is what actually qualifies us to be a citizen of God's kingdom. So meaning that until you begin to obey God, even in the sight of the angels, you are not yet part of God's kingdom. Until you begin to obey God, everything that God says and everything that God's word teaches. Yeah, so even Jesus said, you know, Jesus was practically saying that even though these people are my earthly family members, they are my blood brothers, even with that, they still don't belong to me until they are not connected to me, they are not related to me until they obey my word. That is what Jesus was saying in that place when He said, "Only those that do the will of God are His brothers." Yeah. Now, another sub-point, point B, under point number two, is by worshiping Him in prayer, how we show our love for God. By worshiping Him in prayer. Psalm 18, verse 1 and verse 3. Yeah, it says, I will love thee, O Lord. I will call upon the Lord. Yeah. So when you remember to pray, when you remember to pray, is a sign that you love God. When you look unto Him in times of need, you are not looking onto human beings. You look unto Him. Is a sign that you really love God. Yeah. Yeah, so we worship Him when we go into prayer. Yeah, because you going into prayer is a sign that you have no other God beside Jesus, beside God, beside the Almighty God. Yeah, so it means that you trust Him to help you. It means that you depend on Him alone. Yeah. So when you have such kind of heart, it would take you into the place of prayer. The reason why some people say they cannot pray is because something has happened to their heart. It is because something has gone wrong in their faith in God. When you have faith in God, you will pray. When you trust God, you will pray. Yeah. When you are fully determined to depend on God and not on man, you will pray. Yeah. So whenever we do this, whenever such kind of mindset drive us into the place of prayer, God is pleased with that. So every time you pray, God is happy that you are praying to Him. Yeah. And there is nothing you say in prayer that is a waste. I hope you know that. There is nothing you cannot pray for. And there is nothing you say in prayer that is a waste of time or waste of words. So there are angels that take record of every prayer that you pray in Jesus' name. Every prayer you pray in the name of Jesus, angels take record of those prayers. And they take it to heaven. And from heaven, they will decide how those prayers will be answered. Yeah, because in heaven is your destiny script. There's a book in heaven that has your name on it. And in that book is everything about your life and destiny. Everything you must become in this world. Or maybe I should say, everything God has destined for you to be on earth is in that book in heaven. Yeah, so when you pray, the angels take the prayers. They store the prayers. Yeah, there's a way they store it. They could store it in a kind of a scroll, or they could, I don't want to go into those details, but my point is that they take your prayer to heaven, and then there are some other angels that will now take over from there. So they take your prayers, they hand it over to other angels that are in charge of answering prayers. Yeah. So those other angels will now look at what your prayer request, your prayer point. They will now check it with what is in your destiny book. Yeah. So if you say prayers that doesn't line up with what is in God's plan for your life before you were born, they will cancel that one. So those ones that lines up with God's plan, they will approve it, and they will set a time when it will happen on earth, when it will become a testimony or a miracle. Yeah, and sometimes it will take some maybe 2-3 years before some prayers will be answered. Yeah, like I think I have said it before, that many of the blessings I am experiencing now, many of the breakthroughs I'm experiencing now, they are answers to prayers I prayed 3-4 years ago. So meaning that if I didn't pray 3-4 years ago, maybe what I'm saying now will not happen. Yeah. So which also means that if I don't pray very well now, maybe the next 3 or 4 years, what will happen then might not happen. Yeah. So some of us we are so concerned about seeing prayers answered instantly. Yeah, but the kingdom of God doesn't work like that. Yeah, the kingdom of God is not in a hurry to answer your prayers. Yeah, the kingdom of God is only in a hurry to do what should be done at this time of your life. Yeah, what should be done or what should have been done at this time of your life. That is what the kingdom of God can be in a hurry to do. But the kingdom of God is never in a haste to answer prayers. So what they do is, they take your prayers and then they decide in heaven when it will be answered on earth. So that is why you must never stop praying. You must continue to pray, because none of your prayers is a waste. None of them. I'm speaking from experience. None of your prayers is a waste. None. Yeah. So that is why I pity Christians that are not praying, because they feel like God is delaying some of the miracles. They feel like God is delaying some of their blessings. So they stopped praying. You are hurting yourself if you do that. Yeah, because the prayers you are praying now is preparing a glorious future for you. Yeah, I don't want to go into all that details. So the point B I was talking about says we show our love for God by going into prayer, by worshiping him in prayer. So meaning that in prayer, you worship God. Every time you are in prayer, you worship God. Every time you remember to pray, the Bible says, maybe we should read that place in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Yeah. Let's read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It says, be careful for nothing. So meaning that don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. But take everything to God in prayer. Everything, take it to God in prayer. Everything, take it to God in prayer. So whenever you feel you're feeling so depressed, yeah, which you're not supposed to be depressed, yeah, but whenever you start having worries and fears and doubts, and insecurity, and yeah, at that time, go into the place of prayer and worship God and pour out your heart unto God. Then God will strengthen you and he would touch you and he would bless you with his presence. He would bless you with joy, and you will become strong again. Yeah. So don't let anything to take you away from the place of prayer. Don't let anything and anyone take you away from the place of prayer. Or maybe I should say, don't let anything take prayer away from you. So you must always pray. It's part of worshiping God. Also in Psalm 63 verse 1 to 4. It says, thou art my God, early will I seek thee to see thy power and thy glory. Also in Psalm 91 verse 14 to 15. It says, because he hath set his love upon me, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. So all these things, they happen in the place of prayer. You seek the Lord, then you encounter his power and his glory, and then he speaks to you. Also in Psalm 116 verse 1 to 2, say, I love the Lord, therefore will I call upon him. Psalm 116 verse 1 to 2. So we show how much we love God by believing in him enough to go into prayer, by trusting him and trusting him enough to go into prayer. Now, another way to show our love for God is by loving one another. That's point C. By loving one another. I'm going to stop at this point. Because it's already 1 hour. And we have actually talked about this at length when we were talking about understanding love, understanding God's love. So another way you show that you love God is by loving the brethren, by loving one another. Matthew chapter 25 verse 40, it says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then in 1 John chapter 4 verse 20 to 21, it confirms that he who loveth God love his brother also. So if you love God, you will love God's children automatically. If you love God, you will love his children. You will love his children. You will love the brethren. If we love God, we will love one another. When God began to deal with me on many issues about love, I was surprised, because many of the things he was telling me, I've not had them before from many sermons of preachers. I've not seen many preachers preach on those things before. So I was surprised that there is more to loving God, or there is more to love than what I have been hearing from many preaching or sermon from from many men of God. And those things God revealed to me about love really humbled me more, because I listened to those things. I mean, I listened to those corrections. And I discovered that inside loving one another are many many deliverances inside loving one another. Are many miracles. I mean, showing love to one another, showing love to brethren. I now see how powerful it is when brethren love one another, and I now see how it hastens answers to prayers. Yeah, so it's very important that we love one another. Very important. And if we love one another, we are going to forgive one another and forget whatever your fellow brethren did to you. Yeah, you're going to forgive and you're going to forget. And not only that, you're going to go extra mile helping one another. You're going to be so caring about your fellow believer in Christ. You're going to care about what have he or she hitting or not. You're going to care about him. So all these things, God is looking for them in the church, and he's not saying them. God is looking for love among the brethren, and he's not saying that love. And that is why many miracles is not happening among us. Because the kingdom that we claim to belong to is a kingdom that is established on love. So if there is no love among us, we will not experience the power and the glory of that kingdom. And I also discovered that when you begin to take actions of love, yeah, God will start speaking to somebody else somewhere to also take actions of love concerning you. When you take actions of love toward another brethren, another brother or sister in the faith in Christ, God will also start talking to somebody else to do the same to you, even to do more to you. Yeah. So love it has a way of, is contagious. Yeah, let me put it that way. It has a way of spreading. So the same thing, if you show love to someone, that person also will be convicted to show love to another person. So let us love one another. If you want to know more about love, I did a lot of teachings on it. When we dealt with understanding God's love. So that is why I'm not going to go into details of it. But we will still talk about love a lot, even under this building a strong relationship with God. We are still going to talk about love a lot. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask me personally or on the group platform. Yeah, but so far, we have talked about desiring God above everything else, worshiping Jesus as we worship God, why you should love and worship Jesus, and then how we show our love for God by loving and obeying his word, by worshiping him in prayer, by loving one another. Yeah, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are a faithful God. Thank you for speaking to us, your mind, as it pertains to knowing you and pleasing you. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how we ought to relate with you from a right heart. Thank you for showing us how to approach you in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for also making us to realize the need to obey your word and not just hear and read your word, but to obey. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have made us to know in the course of this teaching. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. I am praying for you that everything that needs correction in your life and in your relationship with God so that you can enjoy God better and enjoy his blessings more. The Spirit of the living God shall begin to do that work of correction now in the name of Jesus. Everything that must change in your mindset about God, in your perception of God, so that you can grow to know him better than ever before. Let God do that change in your life right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Remain blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.